Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m., joined, as we are every week, by our guy, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. And Chris, it looks like you're in NOLA right now enjoying some good food. What's going on out there? How's the weather?
The weather's a little bit hit or miss, but yes, I am in New Orleans. I had a phenomenal lunch yesterday and went to Kashan Butcher. Shout out to my guy, Nick Wagner, who's always recommending that one. But probably my favorite sandwich I've had anywhere in the country. I've been around a little bit. So if you make it to New Orleans, check out Kashan Butcher. If you're into sandwiches, I had a porchetta cheesesteak. Really, really tough to beat that one.
It sounds like it. Well, I'm glad you didn't lose your lunch after watching the Kings last night against the Pelicans. Just give us your initial take. What the heck happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was the second night of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. It was third game in four nights. And obviously, that's not an excuse. The energy was certainly low, but they didn't defend Zion Williamson worth a lick. Mm-hmm. The guys after the game had mentioned, you know, not double-teaming him quickly enough, not showing him enough different looks. And so I would imagine, given that they have today off, going into Wednesday's game, they're going to try to up their physicality, maybe double team him a little bit more, prevent him from just getting downhill and getting to the rim like he did. But he's, you know, Zion's not, the Kings aren't the only team that Zion's a tough matchup for.
Right.
They just, you know, his physicality and his size and his power is just really difficult for them to handle. So they'll have to vary their looks. They did something in that game that I thought was interesting, talking to members of the coaching staff, they were going to throw some wrinkles at New Orleans, and that included playing zone, because they wanted to take advantage of New Orleans, you know, not having a ton of outside shooting. And ultimately what that did, it just allowed Zion Williamson to have a bunch of mismatches. And you saw a bunch of, you know, Kevin Huerter, for example, having to guard Zion at times, and Zion just seeing that and putting his head down and getting to the rim. So I would imagine the Kings are going to have a much different approach when it comes to defending Zion, but they're certainly not the only team that's going to struggle defending him this year.
Yeah, Chris, what did the vibe kind of feel like after that game? Did you feel like it was more frustration, or was it disappointment, if there's really a difference in those emotions? Like, what did you really feel from just everybody coming out and doing their post game?
Yeah, I mean, they were realistic about it. They understood it's kind of a tough point in their schedule, and they're at a point now where the injuries are really starting to stack up in a way that they never really did last year. So that they do have to deal with the adversity. The vibes weren't great, but it wasn't like, you know, the sky was falling. Sure. They still feel like they can go out and you know, have a good stretch here, have a good finish to the road trip with New Orleans on Wednesday, and then the in-season tournament game in Minnesota on Friday. So the vibes weren't terrible. They acknowledged that they needed to play better, particularly on the defensive end. And obviously they didn't have a whole lot of energy on the offensive side either, which I guess, you know, should be expected in the third game in four nights as, you know, game four of a six game road trip. So I would expect them to bounce back and put together a better overall effort on Wednesday. And I think, you know, the Pelicans came into last night ranked 26th, both offensively and defensively. And so the Kings are a better team right now than New Orleans as currently constructed, particularly with them missing CJ McCollum. But with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, they do pose mismatch issues, and the Kings will have to adjust, and we'll see if they can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the Pelicans were just underperforming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just got word, I think it might have been in Zion's postgame press conference, that they had a team meeting after that loss to the Timberwolves over the weekend. Zion comes back. So it was a perfect storm. Excuses can also be reasons, and hopefully the Kings bounce back. Talking to Chris Biederman, host of the Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. To switch over to the Niners, Chris, they take care of business this weekend against the Buccaneers. Brock Purdy, perfect passer rating. We've heard time and time again, and Chris and I were joking around in the last segment about some of these stats that we've never heard of. Right? I mean, the stats that we have heard of, that Brock Purdy's doing really well, and Niner fans being the fans that they are, finding every acronym stat in the book where Brock Purdy is number one. Brock Purdy right now has the sixth best odds to win the MVP. Do you think Niner fans should feel that Brock is being disrespected?
I mean, I think, you know, there's a certain type of NFL punditry that's out there, particularly people ranking quarterbacks and stuff, that, you know, factors in physical traits maybe too much, right? Like you look at some of these rankings and you see guys like Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott and, you know, Kyler Murray, like all ranked above Brock Purdy. But the thing is, you know, we talk about traits, like what about the trait of just like playing quarterback at a high level? Like mm-hmm. what about just getting the ball to the right guys, decision-making, accuracy, timing, being, you know, anticipation. Like I think what Brock Purdy is proving to us that a lot of those physical traits that make the NFL combine such a compelling piece of television in the off season, like maybe some of that stuff is just overrated. And even what makes the best quarterbacks in the league the best quarterbacks is how they play quarterback. It's not just Patrick Mahomes has a great arm and that's why he's considered the best quarterback in the league and he can throw from all sorts of different angles. It's because of how he plays quarterback. Like we've seen lots of super talented guys flame out because they just aren't good at playing quarterback. And what Brock Purdy's doing is just playing quarterback at a really high level. And obviously he has you know, elite skill guys around him. He's in a great system with Kyle Shanahan and, you know, he has Christian McCaffrey as a security blanket slash, you know, and a running game. That's one of the best in the league too. So he's taking advantage of his situation. And it's odd to me that that's being held against him. When you look at quarterbacks throughout the league, and I've said this before to you guys, like just about every good quarterback in the league has an elite receiver and, or an elite head coach calling plays. Right. So it's like, It's a little bit silly to me to try to denigrate Brock Purdy because he was a seventh round pick, because he doesn't have the same physical attributes that some other guys might have. But if you watch him play football, he is playing the quarterback position just at an elite level, and all the numbers back it up. So is Brock Purdy being disrespected? I think it's probably by a minority of the NFL punditry at this point, but I think anybody who watches football credibly and really knows what they're watching understands that Brock Purdy's playing at a really high level right now and is a really big reason why the 49ers are where they are.
Chris, looking ahead to Thursday's game on Thanksgiving, the Niners are playing Seattle, and you know, just watching the Niners, especially since they went on that losing streak, it just feels like the pass game is clearly their weak spot when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. How concerning is it that you know, Seattle's over there and their receiving core is just it's incredible, and it looks like it's getting even better as they kind of slowly integrate Jaxon Smith and Jigba. How concerned are you for the Niners secondary going against that Seattle receiving core?
Well, the thing with, you know, in losing Talanoa Hufanga, right. He was not known as a coverage guy. Right. He was somebody who could make plays around the line of scrimmage and be kind of a ball hawk and force fumbles and take advantage of quarterback's mistakes there. But he's not somebody who was going to, you know, run with tight ends 30 yards down the field all the time or be able to cover speedy receivers. Like that was just really never part of his game. So I'm curious to see what Jair Brown, what he brings from that standpoint. I do think he's probably more fit to be a coverage guy than maybe Talanoa Hufanga was. Because, you know, I remember asking Kyle Shanahan after they drafted Hufanga how they viewed him and, you know, if they thought he might play linebacker at some point. And Shanahan was like, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a possibility. So that they didn't have him set for certain as a safety when they drafted Hufanga, which sort of speaks to maybe the lack of downfield coverage skills that you normally associate with the position. So, you know, I think the key for the Niners is to not give up big plays, right? Like they do a pretty good job of preventing offenses from throwing the ball downfield. And the way they've been beaten is by quarterbacks who get rid of the ball quickly. And what you saw in Jacksonville was the secondary doing a really nice job of preventing the quarterback from getting the ball out quickly with sticky coverage. That allowed the pass rush to get home a little bit more, right? And you saw when Baker Mayfield had success in the second half of the game on Sunday, he was getting rid of the ball quickly, even though it seemed like he threw 10 interceptable passes that the 49ers got their hands on throughout the second half of that game. So, you know, it's always going to be tough going to Seattle. We'll see how Geno Smith's health is. He took a really tough hit on his throwing arm on Sunday, and obviously it's a short turnaround. So you know, when you look at the Seahawks receivers, I would say that's a team that can throw the ball downfield, right? Mm-hmm. You think about DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett; those are like really solid downfield threats. Are the Seahawks going to have enough time against the 49ers pass rush to let those plays develop? I think that's going to be a big question, and ultimately that could be where the game is won or lost.
Talking to Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. Chris, thank you so much for the time. But before we let you go, we're asking all of our guests this week. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to ask a Thanksgiving question. Where are you at with turkey? That's number one. And number two, what is your number one side?
Big dark meat guy. I don't need the turkey breast. I mean, we all have turkey sandwiches and all that.
Right.
Like, thousands of times. Give me some dark meat. Give me a big leg. I'm good with that. Mm. Is gravy a side?
That's a great question.
I would say that. Yes.
So I'm definitely the type that pours gravy literally over everything.
Okay.
I love that.
So all right. If you, I would say like stuffing, potatoes, green beans, whatever, like gravy's good on everything. Turkey, mm-hmm. obviously. So I would say, gravy is probably my favorite side. If we're qualifying it as a side, I would probably go mashed potatoes too. If we're talking more traditional sides.
All right. All right. That's well, incredible. Enjoy that, Chris. Enjoy it. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your time in New Orleans. Hey, I have been telling people when I went to New Orleans back in the day, I had some alligator. Don't be afraid to grab some gator before you go, Chris. Don't be afraid.
Had it before. It tasted a little bit like chicken. Almost did it yesterday. I just didn't want to do it before the game and, you know, risk having something weird happen from a stomach perspective.
So. Exactly. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. You guys enjoy Thanksgiving. Yeah, we'll see you, Chris. Best of you and yours.
Oh, thank you.
Chris Biederman, host Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. Thank you, as always, to Chris. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we hop back into Kings talk. Are you giving the Kings a pass? We'll read off some of your notes. And Chris Watkins,
yeah, that's me,
is ready to talk about trades. Mm. Look how the mighty have fallen. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thanks again to Chris Biederman. As always, every week, host of the Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings, the Sacramento Bee. A little bit jealous of Chris being in New Orleans, and hopefully I won't be jealous again if the Kings come with another L. So hopefully I'll be jealous of a W and the Kings pulling that off and getting back on track. From the YouTube chat, RH, Kings win six in a row, then lose the second game of a shorthanded back-to-back, and your emphasis is a beatdown. Nice frame. Drama. So, RH, what would you call last night?
Yeah, it was definitely a beatdown. Also, why can't it be a beatdown after a six-game win streak?
Yeah,
why does the six-game win streak prevent anything from being a beatdown?
The theme of the show is, are you giving the Kings a pass? So, obviously, that's been a question.
Yep.
So, if you want to ask whether or not or answer if you are giving the Kings a pass, let us know. Please. But I don't know what else you would want us to call last night. They were down a 40-burger.
Yeah, 41.
41 points. Yeah. We don't put lipsticks on pigs here.
No.
We just don't do it.
No, sorry.
Okay?
Not going to.
Let's just play the game.
Sure.
What else could we call last night?
Embarrassing.
A deconstructed win, also known as a loss.
Deconstructed win. I hate that. You've been watching too much
Chopped. The Kings lose last night underhanded in a different time zone.
Yep.
Second game of a back-to-back coming off a Pelicans team that just had a team meeting getting Zion back and had just lost a one-point game over the weekend. Mm. It's a little wordy, but we can say it. De'Aaron Fox didn't play in the fourth quarter. You lost Keegan Murray. You lost Chris Duarte. You were already missing Keon Ellis. That's all true.
Yep.
But I'm still trying to figure out whether or not it was a beatdown or not.
I mean, it was definitely a beatdown. There's no two ways about it. It was an absolute beatdown.
I'm not really sure there, but thank you.
Right. Yeah, you gotta live with in the moment of what just happened.
Like, yeah.
You gotta come join us in reality here.
Right.
The Kings just got destroyed yesterday. There's no other way of putting it. Like, you got embarrassed.
And the excuse meter,
the
excuse meter is 25 points. You could be down 25 points, and I'm cool.
Yeah.
But being down 41 at any point throughout the season
is
unacceptable.
You're a professional basketball team.
I don't care if you just won 15 in a row.
Yeah.
41 points.
It's ridiculous.
And it's the Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, Well, and they saw this coming too. Like, I don't, it's not like the Kings didn't know. Like, De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, I believe, didn't play in that fourth quarter of the Mavericks game, right?
Well, I was going to say, the Mavericks game, if I was a Mavericks fan coming off that side of the back-to-back and you just had to go up against the Bucks, if I'm a Mavericks fan, I'm probably cool with what happened against the Kings.
They competed for three quarters.
They were also never down 41 points.
They were not. No, that is a fact. That is an absolute fact. And the Kings got no excuse. They were playing the Pelicans. Like, and Biederman said it. We said it yesterday.
Yeah.
They're like 20 plus in offensive and defensive.
They're probably
rating.
Better than that, right?
Right,
they are
of course,
better
yes.
than that, but this is how they've been playing. But, you know, we sit here every single day and we talk about the Kings and we talk about where they can be better and how they were rolling. The whole time during the win streak, I mean, it was all vibes, right? But that can't have anything to do with the game last night.
Yeah.
We can talk about why they are possibly in this situation, but there is nothing that's going to convince me that at any point in time, being down 41 is okay.
Yeah.
It's only one game.
Yeah.
It's only one game. But with 41 points, I'm talking about that game.
Yeah.
That game was a beatdown. That's not a frame job.
No.
That's not a frame job. That's what it was.
I believe that there is a difference between a 20-point loss and a 40-point loss as well.
Yes.
Not that the Kings ended up losing by 40.
Well, they never do, but that doesn't matter to me.
Of course. I think the fact that you allow your team to get down by 40 tells me that you completely and utterly gave up. And to me, like the Celtics, the Six, they're not ever going to be down by 40 because that tells me that as a collective unit, and we talk all the time about the Kings' depth, nobody showed up. Nobody. Harrison Barnes had 16 points. Shout out HB, of course. Nobody else shows up except for HB, and the night HB gives us 16, the Kings can't do anything to take advantage of it. Nobody showed up. There was an opportunity. Keon Ellis somehow found himself in the rotation because of a situation like what we found ourselves in last night. You still could have showed up, had a nice little showing. Simone's dog of the day yesterday, Davion Mitchell, great pick. I wanted to pick it myself because it was such a great pick. You want to be back in the rotation? You had an entire fourth quarter. You had a whole blowout to go show out. And this is not specifically on Davion. Yesterday is absolutely not. This is just a very specific example of some. They did not have to collectively lay down as a unit is where I'm getting at.
No.
I'm not going to turn it into anybody in particular or specifics, but I'm more just pointing at Davion's situation to say it didn't have to look like how it looked like yesterday. It still could have been a 30-point loss, but with some bright spots here and there. Maybe Colby Jones looks good in the fourth. No, they completely laid down yesterday.
And Emmy is reminding us as well on the YouTube chat that Sasha didn't play. Sasha didn't play either.
Sure. Excuses, though. Like, those are excuses. Teams are very rarely at full strength. You know who wasn't at full strength yesterday?
Who?
The New Orleans Pelicans, because CJ McCollum didn't play.
Right.
Who's maybe their second or third best player.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear New Orleans complaining. Didn't hear anything about that. Or, you know, the other day when the T-Wolves were playing the Warriors and the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry, Brandon Pajemski scored 27 points. They lost by 1 point. They put up an effort without, you know, some people out with injury, their most important player. The Warriors are throwing parades because Klay Thompson scores over 20 points.
Yeah.
The Kings have had games where they had five people score over 20 points, and they almost had a game the other day where they had three people almost score 30. There's no reason why the Kings should put a performance like they put up yesterday, especially, and I'm going to keep pointing it out, especially after they already did this in Houston.
Right.
There's no reason to have a performance like yesterday.
Right.
It's inexcusable.
It is a what have you done for me lately league. And nobody is saying that the Kings are taking a step back. We just said that they didn't show up last night.
Yes.
Right? And how many stinkers are you allowed throughout the season? We'll see how they come back from it tomorrow. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Greg, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Greg? You're on Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey, man. Thanks, guys. I'm going to say give the Kings a pass, man. And I think the game tomorrow night is a big factor. If we beat them by 1 point and in the record book it's 1-1, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I've coached football myself at Jesuit for a few years. I know what happens when the team kind of gets sketched out like this. The yips happen. But I just want to bring up what a big deal Trey Lyles and Keegan being out and how Brandon Ingram just went off. Keegan was doing a great job on him.
Yeah.
We lost some pieces. The guys knew that. The other thing is the Dallas game, I mean, we crushed those guys, and that was the top team in the West. We could have rested the guys a little earlier. I think with the firepower Dallas has, coach decided to keep his starters in a little longer, and you know, in hindsight, maybe we should have given them a little rest. But I really think this is all about the next game. And to the point you're bringing up about Houston, this concern there wasn't one game, it was two. So I think it's all about this next game.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, Greg. And when you leave and you leave the record book, just like Greg said, and it's one-on-one, we are all on the same page there, right? Keegan goes out. Keegan was doing a darn good job. He continues to elevate as a defender. We get all that, and we are happy about it. The Zion thing, there was nobody on that roster that was going to be able to handle Zion. Mm-hmm. Not last night, right? And Coach Mike Brown even admitted it. We were just saying there's nothing – with all that being said – we can still say that last night was a beatdown.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah.
Well, it still was.
And I still think they can win tomorrow handily and still have yesterday not be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where my thing falls.
Right.
I completely agree that when we're viewing this little road trip, the thing that can obviously make this different and a clear learning experience via as opposed to Houston is if you get a win on the second night, because in Houston we saw them lay down both nights. That's clear. That shouldn't even that was unacceptable.
It won't happen. That should never happen.
Of course, if they win on Wednesday, that's a sign of improvement. That last time when you got rolled over in, on a road city on a two game series, you fell down both games. So at least this time that's fine. I hear you, and I do agree with a portion of that, but that does not mean that you can still have a single performance like you had yesterday.
Or maybe it does.
No.
I don't know.
I don't
maybe they're just a team. Maybe they're just a team that sometimes we're just going to get our doors blown off.
But you can't be a good team. You cannot call yourself a good team and get the doors blown off. What is it? It's been what they
but
played
Chris,
11 games.
What if it
games.
Just happens every couple games?
The Kings have played 11 games this year.
Uh-huh.
They have now been blown out three in three of them. That's like 33% of their games.
It's a little too many.
That's way too many games. How many blowouts are you allowed a year? Like 3 to 5 max? Well, the Kings have 70 games left.
A loss is a loss and a W is a W,
for
right?
For sure, absolutely.
Okay, so depending on how many, okay, so if they're a 50-win team, that puts them right, 30 losses per se. If you get to 50 wins and 10 of those losses were blowouts, do you still care?
I think
that
it's a bad
three.
Again,
they're already at three.
I feel like I have been on record as saying I am a process-oriented person, and I just think that it's not a good thing
to
get blown out in 10 of whatever, 10 of 82 games. I think that's always going
to
be a bad thing.
No, we have to go.
I think it's a sign of something that is clearly wrong.
I'm trying to figure out how many blowouts can they average throughout the season, and as I continue to say this word blowout, I keep thinking of my daughter, and hopefully I don't got to deal with that later. But how many blowouts are they allowed throughout the season? Mm-hmm. Where sometimes they just don't show up. Gotta
That's
go.
Not good.
Gotta go. We'll talk about it more on the other side. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Let's just play the game.
Sure.
What else could call last night?
Embarrassing.
A deconstructed win, also known as a loss.
Deconstructed.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, and it was a little spicy last segment, so Simone's coming in.
That's exactly why
here.
I did that, because you guys are, the girls are fighting.
No, a little hardcore here. We have just added Sean Cunningham, 1 p.m. sports reporter for Fox 40, so that hopefully at that time we will have more updates on injuries. That is at 1 p.m. Sean Cunningham.
Doubtful.
Not going to want to miss that as we continue our conversation and the theme of the show being whether or not the Kings get a pass for last night. 916 on the text line. Fans and media using words like unacceptable and inexcusable is pointless.
Okay.
Changes nothing.
Okay.
I mean,
You could argue that text is inexcusable and unacceptable.
Well, okay, Chris is. Take cover.
Your text didn't really change anything.
Well, okay, I understand.
You can voice. Sorry, my fault for voicing my emotions.
We
my
try
feelings.
Not to be
ambulance.
We try not to. No. Hold on. We try not to police fandom here on the show. But I will say that to your point, telling somebody that what they're saying is pointless.
Is also pointless. Yeah.
I would then say that. Because I get what you're saying, 916, is, okay, we're calling this unacceptable. We're calling this inexcusable. What's the difference? Are you not going to watch the Kings, right? Are you upset with the Kings? Why are you saying this? Well, we're saying it because we care about the Kings, right?
Yeah, and that's an inexcusable
performance. It's just a reaction. We don't expect... It's not like I just saw this because Justin Jefferson is on my fantasy team, and Justin Jefferson is the most recent person.
He's on my actual team, so.
There you go.
Tell me about
it. He's the most recent person to tweet and say, please stop telling me about fantasy. Stop DMing me. I'm going to come back when I feel healthy. And I still find it wildly absurd that people DM players and tag players and say, hey, help me out here. I will never understand it, but I know people won't stop doing it. So I get that part of it, right? But this is just if somebody's whole day was, oh man, I got to get through work and then I can watch my Kings play. And the Kings throw up a bagel, right? Or just throw up lay an egg. And the fan feels, man, that is just ridiculous. That's inexcusable. That is within that fan's right to feel like that. Is it changing anything? Is Mike Brown going to say, oh, Robbie1234 at Robbie1234 finds this inexcusable, so we better show up next week or we better show up on Wednesday? No, right. It's about the fans. It's not about coaches or players seeing that and thinking, this random fan, I don't want to let this random fan down. This team knows that they have this city on their back, okay? You're dealing with Lou Williams and random people throwing strays at Sacramento for absolutely no reason. So this team doesn't need to be told. They know, right? That's like when somebody strikes out or misses a three, they're not trying to miss a shot. They're not trying to strike out. Oh, no, I just thought I'd strike out to switch it up for a bit. I was tired of getting hits.
Yeah.
That's not what people are thinking. So it's not about you, me, or any fan out there saying, oh, wow, yeah, now that I'm saying this is unacceptable, now Coach Mike Brown and now De'Aaron Fox and now Sabonis Ochoa. It's not about that. It's just about how you feel.
Yeah, I mean.
It's how you feel.
Yeah, my thing is that the level of talent that the Kings have and the level of team that I believe they can be doesn't play like that. Mm-hmm. Like they just don't play like they did last night. And when I say it's inexcusable or it's unacceptable, I'm more saying if you want to be taken seriously as a team, which the Kings frankly have not been, do we need to go back to the offseason when everybody was saying everyone else in the Pacific Division is going to be head and shoulders better than the Kings and the Kings should wish for a play-in spot because of how much better the West is going to be? Like, should I have those level of expectations? No, I have higher expectations for this team. And so, yeah, I think that if you get absolutely the doors blown off you by the Houston Rockets twice and the New Orleans Pelicans who can't figure out what team they are on a given day, yeah, sorry, I'm going to be upset and I'm going to say that you should not play like that as an organization, as a professional basketball team that has professional multiple, not just five, not just say they have 15 professionals playing for them. They should not get blown out by 41 points in any situation. But almost, the caller said earlier, the texter said earlier, it's not a blowout because it's after a six-game streak. If anything, it's more inexcusable on a six-game winning streak because you're playing well. Everything's going well, and you just let all the momentum, everything just die. Everything. Like, they have to now treat Wednesday like it's a whole new streak that they're trying, which it is, but like all the positive feelings, all the positive momentum you built in that six game win streak, I'm not saying it's completely gone. You can still, you know, breach back into it and say, hey, that is really the identity of who we are, but it's not the same. You don't carry in those same feelings, same emotions. And I just think it's unacceptable for a team that has the aspirations, the championship aspirations, mind you, that Mike Brown keeps putting on this team, and you get beat by teams that have, frankly, no business I mean, it's one thing if it's close, but it's another thing to just get completely blown out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And that's my TED Talk.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But if I may.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What up? The blowout, if this is just a team mm-hmm. that on random nights. Now, you're worried, not you per se, but you're worried because you don't want that blowout, that team to just not show up when it's playoff time.
I don't want that to be, right? Yeah, exactly. I don't want that to be in your DNA.
But
I don't want that to even
of,
be a portion of your DNA.
But what if it just is? I don't know that that's an indictment on the team.
I think it is. I think that means
every team gets blown out sometimes.
For sure, but not every team. I mean, and Houston's been improved this year, but it's one thing. The Kings have historically, mm-hmm. I can go back and pull specifics of times in very, very recent history, they get the doors blown off by the mm-hmm. by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can live with that. But early in the season, Houston, that's just you overlooking the opponent twice.
No, De'Aaron Fox.
Whatever. Sure. That's
so you're not even mad at the loss. You're mad at the blowout.
It's the performance. Yeah. Like, it's the laying down. It's the fact that I thought this team was supposed to have depth, but all of a sudden you lose one or two people, and all of a sudden,
Chris,
I'm supposed to.
Keegan goes out.
Okay.
Okay, Keegan goes sure. out. Sasha was out.
That's great.
Keon Ellis, that's three. And I'm Duarte goes out. That's four pieces
that's
right there. Trey Lyles, we're trying to figure out when he's going to play. That's six right there. And Trey Lyles is probably your best guy to defend Zion.
Sure.
Who is cooking?
So, De'Aaron Fox, 2 of 12 from three. That's cool.
No.
We're okay with De'Aaron taking 12 threes. Now, because
no.
he's shooting 40% now, he can take
no, he
12
took 12 threes.
That three took
because
at the
it was
end of
a
that third quarter was awesome.
He took 12 threes because it was a back-to-back, and he was tired.
Okay.
I'm not calling it
everybody's tired. I'm just saying. But and
you
then,
get your doors blown off, and you come out.
I don't just compete. My thing is just compete. That's all I want. I just want you to compete. Like we said, Dallas the other day.
How many
Dallas
tapes
has the
can
ultimate,
you burn?
That's
how many tapes?
Another thing.
They've already
yeah.
burned three,
three
tapes.
Three tapes. Three of their
VHS's.
11 tapes. That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know how many times.
How many tapes can you burn and still be a championship contender? That's the question.
I don't know.
That's really what this all boils down to.
I don't know.
Because they've burned three tapes so far.
Yep. Of 11 games. Or what? Has it been 12 yet? Is it still at 11? I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
Three.
Yeah. 13. It's been 13 games.
Over under tapes that they burned this year.
Yeah. I mean,
Chris, it's going to be 10 and it's going to be okay. If you lose,
I don't, but like, what
will.
Is, but again, championship.
Yeah,
we're
30
talking
losses,
championship team.
30 losses.
Uh-huh.
20
I would
close,
argue 30 losses is not a championship team, but
50 wins?
50 wins is, I wouldn't say that's championship, but I would say that's like you're starting to become a contender if you get 50 wins.
Okay, so what? 25?
Sure. Yeah.
25 losses. Mm-hmm. 10 burn tapes.
That's a lot.
But 15 really close Warrior-type games.
Okay.
That team can win a championship, Chris.
I mean,
it's a long season, brother.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a very – and I'm not saying this is some big indication of what's here to come. I'm just saying you cannot continue to just throw away nights.
Just save your energy. Save your
I
energy.
I don't believe that's a real thing. Again, we're 13 games into the season. If uh-huh. you're telling me you need to conserve your energy on game 13, we don't stand a chance in game 60.
This is a new way to load manage. I'm kidding. We got to get to a break, man. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
And another three ball has been knocked down by Brandon Ingram. And the Pelicans are just sailing off into the sunset. Malik Monk just attempted a three-point shot. It was blocked by Jones and a foul on Malik in the process.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Reminder, all guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop.
Mm.
Only three shows this week, and I guess maybe based on that timing, we bumped up Wasabi Wednesday
yeah.
to Tapatio Tuesday.
We got people hot today.
Because
people are
expedited.
It is hot in the streets.
People are tight.
The block is hot right now. The YouTube chat coming down our roads, the text line coming down our roads.
Yeah, relax.
And this is what happens. This is why the Kings have to go undefeated.
Yep.
This is why you can't lose a game, Kings, because this is what happens.
Yep.
And honestly, it's not even about losing a game. It's the way you lose it. And when you come out and you lay down the way you did, it's going to make some people upset. It's going to just cause, I don't want to say hot takes, just going to cause
different, stronger reactions. If you lose and you lost by five, the reactions aren't as strong because you gave it a good run. Right. You're coming off a back-to-back. You were down, guys. You gave it the old college try. When you go out and you have to do a double take looking at the score and I got to pull out my TI-84 calculator to figure out how much they're down by, that's what's going to cause stronger reactions.
I've seen the Kings lose hundreds of times. Hundreds, quite literally hundreds of times over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't get upset at the Kings losing. That's normal. That's regular. I just have a problem when a team that I feel like could perform better doesn't show up at all. I think that that's just a fundamental problem, and I don't think that anybody should be okay with their team just laying down. I understand that, you know, schedule losses are a thing. I understand back-to-backs are tough, and then you throw on injuries, and it's almost an impossible game to try and win. But you can still have bright spots in losses. That's my thing. Throughout the years, again, I've seen hundreds of Kings losses, hundreds of losing, or tons of losing, not hundreds. It felt like hundreds of losing seasons. There's been seasons where there's nothing to feel happy about, but there's still minor positives that you can take again. Like, oh, Colby Jones had a good night last night. Oh, Keon Ellis, even in a Houston blowout, shows some signs that maybe he can be a part of the rotation. My problem is there was nothing.
Nobody.
There was nothing positive to take out of yesterday.
And I think
that shouldn't happen.
No, but I think the optimistic way to look at it and the way certain people are looking at it is based on the because of the win streak.
Sure.
Hey, we believe in them more now. Okay, they dropped a stinker.
Sure.
But we believe that who we saw these last six games is who they are and not who we saw last night. But
I would agree with that. Honestly.
Yes, but at the same time, is that team from last night just going to show up throughout the season?
Yeah.
We don't know what to do with that. And two, somebody on the text line, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140, to somebody's point earlier, was we'll know more tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because we saw what happened in Houston and we know they don't want that to.
But until tomorrow, am I okay with being upset until tomorrow happens?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good. You're not supposed to be happy.
I feel like all of a sudden, I'm the one who has unrealistic Kings expectations out of all of a sudden. I feel like I've been the one.
Oh,
who's
how
been,
the turntables.
I'm supposed to be the wet blanket, and all of a sudden now everybody. See? Well, I guess I still am being the wet blanket.
Yes,
but I guess,
a different way.
Yeah, in a different way.
Oh, how the tables have turned. Oh, how the turntables. Shout out DJ Watkins. Ticking off Sacramento Kings fans.
Suffering from success.
Who would have thought?
Come on.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Going to be fine. Now, again, I don't think that this is some overarching, statement on the Sacramento Kings and how this season is going to go. I just think that you should try and eliminate as many of these games as possible. Like, if you can have have as many few bad, terrible games as possible, obviously, but like you can't have nights where you're just giving up. Like, it's okay if you admit defeat, that's fine, but for the effort, it's the effort that wasn't there last night that I had the problem with.
Let me ask you a question. And then
and
we'll
maybe it's
on.
Also because I had to watch the entire game. I didn't have the option.
Right, a lot of y'all turned off. A lot of y'all turned it off
midway through
I'm
the third.
It like I was.
I had to watch Philip Petrusev play the entire
Monday Night
quarter.
Football and fantasy took over once I started seeing it going that way.
Chris watched every single minute,
every second.
Let me ask you this question, and Chris is just going to keep rolling here because after this we're talking about trades.
Yeah,
so this is going to get even better.
This is going to be the
and
Chris
who's
hour.
Untouchable.
So if you're
yes,
not happy with Chris right now.
I've been waiting for this. It's time for me to take a break, take a back seat, and it's Chris's time to shine. So let me ask you this.
Yep.
What do you think is a more powerful, I guess, vehicle? Okay, would you say a team like the Pelicans and Zion going on to say, we figured some things out, and we had a team meeting, and things are going well now. And Zion, find the quote right here. Zion said, "We weren't on the same page before, but now we're all on the same page. We had a team meeting. We talked about what we want to do as a unit, and that's what we're going to live and die with." That's Zion on the Pelicans' goals.
Okay.
So what do you think? So Pelicans coming off a huge win versus the Kings, still going to be shorthanded. We don't know how much. We're going to talk to Sean Cunningham a little bit later. Hopefully we'll have some updates at 1 p.m. for you. What do you think would be driving a team more?
Mm-hmm.
The Kings, after getting blown out and now trying to show that that's not who they are, or the Pelicans with the momentum now saying, hey, these guys are down. They had to hang out in our city. Yeah. They're still on the road. We took care of them the first time. We're trying to get rolling ourselves. Who do you think has a bigger fish to fry in this second game tomorrow?
I would say the Kings do, because this is the problem, is they didn't show any Biederman. We had Biederman on earlier, and he was talking about the fact that the Kings, you know, ran a zone. It didn't go successfully. So nothing that they tried last night went well. So they have to go back to the drawing board. They have to try and reimagine a game plan that's going to work out. If we're just talking for the next, going into the next game, not, you know, I don't believe in the power of all team meetings like that.
Right.
That stuff's going to last a week tops. It's like when the Raiders fire Josh McDaniels and then Antonio Pierce comes in and all of a sudden everybody feels good.
Victory
that stuff's going to it's gonna last like a week and then it's going to fade off. So I don't believe in the long-term power of what the Pelicans are going through, but I think the fact that the Pelicans are riding good feelings, they have a game plan that clearly worked out. They understand, look, we're going to play Wednesday. The Kings aren't going to bring in any, unless Trey Lyles enters the lineup, the Kings aren't going to add anybody that's going to change what Zion did to the Kings on Monday. B.I. was able to go off because, yeah, Keegan definitely stepping out played a role in it, but Brandon Ingram is going to be a problem regardless of who you put on him. He's going to hit shots. He might not score 18 in a quarter like he did yesterday, but he's going to be a problem no matter who you put on him. I think I would rather be in the Pelican situation where you have good feelings, you have tape that you can go back on and say, hey, this was successful, this wasn't successful.
It's like we have a Hulk. We have a Zion and they don't.
In a way, Zion definitely looks like Hulk, just like shrunk down but not turned into human form.
Right.
If that makes sense. So I would probably rather have the motivational juice of what the Pelicans have going on right now over the Kings, who I'm not, and it's a close margin because it's also, you know, how much does off the floor encouragement really play a factor into actual play? I don't think very much, but I do think there is something there. I would rather have the Pelicans' wave of emotions of what they're going through and feeling like they're coming together, as opposed to the Kings, who feel like, I don't think it's a complete going back to the drawing board in terms of, you know, they need to redo everything they do for the remainder of the season. But in terms of this matchup, whatever they had drawn up on Monday, throw out. I mean, the first quarter was okay, but also the Kings were forcing the Pelicans into tons of turnovers, which kept the Kings in the game for that first quarter.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, do the Kings need to make a trade? If so, who is untouchable? We'll talk about it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.